بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. ثم أما بعد, to proceed, we are still studying from this book, Muhammad as if you can see him, صلى الله عليه وسلم, by Dr. Ard al-Qarni. And last time we were talking about his crying, صلى الله عليه وسلم, so this time we will talk about his laughing. So this will be about the laughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the book does not necessarily address the description of the laughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not meant to be informational as much as it is meant to be motivational, the book. So he just talks about different incidents of the laughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will, inshallah, after we finish going over this brief chapter in the book, we will talk about the laughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How did he laugh? When did he laugh? Why did he laugh? And put the issue in perspective, because many times we can read certain reports and feel that they conflict with each other. So, for instance, when we read that the Prophet ﷺ used to have like a tinge of sadness on his face all the time, or some moistness in his eyelids because of his tears, and then you read that the Prophet ﷺ used to laugh a lot, or in some reports, such as what the Muslim reported from Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bijalari, he says, ما حجبني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم منذ أسلمت وما رآني إلا ضحك. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم never barred me from seeing him since I became Muslim, and he never saw me except that he laughed. So Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bijalari, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Prophet never saw me except that he laughed. Did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم really laugh every time he saw him, or he just smiled? So that's what we'll talk about, inshallah, after we finish the description that's in the book here. So the author says, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would enter the place of his family, he would smile, he would laugh, and he would even joke around with his wives and other family members. He would bless them with his good company, his kind words, etc., etc. This is an important introduction to the topic, because the people who are most deserving of your kindness should be your closest kin. They're most deserving of your kindness. If that kindness is genuine kindness, then the closest of the kin will be the first people to witness it. Otherwise, if it is fake kindness, then you will only show it to the people that you want to seek their pleasure for some gain or another. But if it is really a genuine one, if it is really a natural one, then the first of kin will be the ones to behold it first. The Prophet ﷺ would joke, but even when he said something that was funny, he told the truth, never telling a lie in order to make others laugh. Because his laugh was a measured laugh. He did not laugh just for the sake of laughing, even though he laughed like human beings laugh. He laughed when something funny happened. But that would not derail him from the objective of his life, the mission, his mission. So certainly he would not laugh if someone made fun of someone else, because that would not be an appropriate laugh, even though it could be funny. But it is not an appropriate incident to laugh at or to laugh about. But would laugh when something funny happened. So Bukhari reports from Umar radiallahu anhu that there used to be a man called Abdullah, and they used to nickname him Donkey, Humar, or Himar. And this man used to be funny, and he used to make people laugh, and he would make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laugh. أن رجلا اسمه عبد الله كانوا يدعونه حمارا أو يركبونه حمارا كان يضحك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the then this particular person is funny. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would laugh because it is funny, just like other people laugh because it's funny. But he would not laugh if that fun is not righteous fun. And then he says that when the Prophet ﷺ would joke with his companions, they would feel revitalized with a new sense of vigor and energy in their souls. It was transmissible optimism, transmissible happiness, transmissible joy, transmissible confidence, comfort that the Prophet ﷺ radiated. In fact, it radiated. Abu Huraira says, as Abd al-Razzaq reports, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا ضحك كاد يتلألأ الجدر. That when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم laughed, he almost shined or shone on the walls, like you see that his shine on the walls. You almost see his shine on the walls. So it radiated to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, revitalized them, gave them energy. and gave them comfort as well as confidence. So Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bijali here, on the second page here, Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bijali said, it never occurred that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw me without smiling at me. In fact, the report says, illa dhahik, except that he laughed. But in this context, it means smiled. Because we know that the very vast majority of the Prophet's laughing was actually smiling. And then he mentions another story here. He mentions a story here from Mu'adh ibn Jabal that the Prophet ﷺ asked Mu'adh ibn Jabal to ride behind him on the donkey. So the donkey sort of gave way, and the Prophet ﷺ and Mu'adh ibn Jabal, they fell to the ground. So certainly, in the first place, to ride on a donkey, that is humble of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To have someone ride behind him, that is adding to his humbleness. So when the donkey gave way and both of them fell onto the ground, the Prophet Muhammad was taken aback, because, you know, they used to have extreme respect and reverence for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Mu'adh saw the Prophet fall off the donkey, and so he was taken aback, and then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stood up and he was laughing. So it calmed Mu'adh down to see him laugh. An incident like this, it shows the humanity of the Prophet, the simplicity of the Prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him on his behalf, وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ, and I am not one of those mutakallifin. Mutakallif is the one who mutakallif is all of us, to show off, to pretend, to overdo it, etc. Then he says, In his laughing, in his joking, and in his playing, the Prophet ﷺ was moderate, having struck a perfect balance between the extremes of a man who always has a frown on his face and a man who constantly laughs and jokes around without taking life seriously. The Prophet ﷺ would laugh when it was appropriate to laugh, just as he cried when it was appropriate to cry, or became angry when it was appropriate to become angry. One thing, however, is certain: he would not laugh immoderately or to the point that his body would either shake or rock back and forth. You know, that perfect balance is not only in laughing, you know, at times, and being sad at times. The perfect balance is actually combining the two. And that is, well, certainly he combines a degree of laughter. It is not the laughter as in English. The dhahik in Arabic includes smiling, which is tabassum. So that's why sometimes there is this mix-up in the reports. When you read them, you get mixed up. You think that he was laughing, you know, all the time, but it was a tabassum or smiling. So if you divide laughing into three degrees, you'll say that there is, you know, I usually use my medical terminology because of my background. If you make it mild, moderate, and severe, or light, proper, and excesses, the light is the smile, and that smile the Prophet ﷺ always had it. To greet people with it. The Prophet ﷺ would always greet people with that smile. So Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Jarayi says that I have not been barred from seeing the Prophet, or the Prophet never barred me from seeing him since I became Muslim, and I've never seen him but he laughed at me. Laughed here means smile. So he would always smile. But certainly he would, because the Prophet ﷺ, that's actually an act of worship. That very smile is an act of worship, because isn't he the one who said, تَرَسْتُمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَةً, your smile at the face of your brother, or to the face of your brother, is a charity. So it's an act of worship, it's an act of charity. You know, sometimes when it is important that people smile, and you don't know why we don't. You don't know what would make us smile, because no one can claim that he has a bigger job or a more serious job than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or a more important job than the Prophet. He has more concerns about the Ummah than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's going through more hardships than the Prophet did, more struggles than the Prophet went through. None of that. Yet, even when you go around the masjid, when you go to a different state, and you walk into a masjid for the first time, and the people meet you, or even give the khutbah of Jum'ah, and people are looking at you, you think to yourself, why do they hate me? You know, so what's wrong? Why am I saying that's wrong? Or why, you know, is there anything wrong about my looks? Because they are extremely serious, that you think that they are really nasty. And then you figure out that they are actually pleasant, and they actually like you and everything. But why don't you meet the person that you meet with, particularly for the first time, comfortable about you, and feel that vibe of friendship? That's what the Prophet ﷺ did. As Jarir says, that's why Abdullah ibn al-Harith, as Tirmidhi reports in his book Shama'il, Abdullah ibn al-Harith said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَكْثَرَ تَبَسُّمًا مِنَ الرَّسُولِ مِنَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I have never seen anyone that would smile, that smiled more than the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then Abdullah ibn al-Harith adds, وَمَا كَانَ ضَحِكُهُ إِلَّا تَبَسُّمًا. And his laughter was nothing but a smile. But that is not, you know, that is true in general, but that's not true, absolutely true. That is not absolutely true, but in general it is true that the laughter of the Prophet ﷺ was smiling. But not absolutely. Why? Because sometimes the Prophet ﷺ laughed, and sometimes the reports in Bukhari and Muslim and other books, such as the incident of Mu'adh and the other incidents as well, in which the Sahaba described the Prophet ﷺ as having laughed until his molars were seen. So if you laugh enough until your molars are seen, that's a pretty proper laugh, like a moderate laugh. Yet, the Prophet ﷺ never laughed until his uvula was seen. Do you know the uvula? The thing that hangs down in your throat. When you open your mouth to brush your teeth, something hangs down your throat. That's called the uvula. So, if Bukhari reports from Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, مَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ سَلَّمْ ضَاحِكًا, in some report, مُسْتَجْمِعًا حَتَّى تُرَى مِنْهُ لَهَوَاتُ. إِنَّمَا كَانَ يَتَبَسَّمْ. I have never seen the Prophet ﷺ laugh مُسْتَجْمِعًا, so laugh in his entirety, or laugh excessively, until his uvula is seen. Until his uvula is seen. Because some people, when they laugh, you could see their uvula, you could see the back of their throat, because their laugh is excessive. But the Prophet never laughed to the point where you see the back, where you see the throat, you could see the molars. إِنَّمَا كَانَ يَتَبَسَّمْ, so Aisha radiallahu anha said, he used to smile. So now, to put this in perspective, there is the light, proper, and excessive. There is the mild, moderate, and severe. If you consider smiling to be the base, which is the light or mild, and you consider the laughter to the point where people can see the back of your throat, the excessive, and the laughing proper would be to see your teeth or molars, then for the Prophet ﷺ, he never laughed excessively. He could say that with confidence. He never laughed excessively. He never had that excessive laugh. Most of his laughter was smiling. The very vast majority of his laughter was smiling. And then he did laugh moderately when the circumstances warranted a laugh. He did laugh moderately when the circumstances warranted it. But did he do this often? The one in the middle? No. Because you cannot really combine by doing this often and having this tinge of sadness on him all the time. And if you look at the reports do not conflict. The reports are quite clear about the description of his laughter. So he was always smiling, because you could smile to people with that tinge of sadness on your face, right? Yeah, you could even have tears in your eyes and smile at someone when you see them. There is no conflict between this and that. But there is conflict between laughter proper and that tinge of sadness and the tears in your eyes. So most of the time the Prophet was almost smiling, but the laughing proper was only like salt for the food. It was just the right amount, like salt for the food. You need that salt, but it is in a very, very tiny amount compared to the food. So Muslim reports from Jabir ibn Samurah radiallahu anhu that he said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طويل الصمت قليل الضحك. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طويل الصمت قليل الضحك. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to have prolonged sinus and little laughter, prolonged silence and little laughter. So, not only that he had prolonged silence and little laughter, but also he warned people against the excessive laughter, right? Ibn Majah reports from Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, فَقِلَّ مِنَ الضَّحِكِ فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضَّحِكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ يَا أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ فَقِلَّ مِنَ الضَّحِكِ So Abu Hurairah laughed sparingly for كثرت الضحك, excessive laughter, causes death to the heart, causes death to one's heart. Causes death to one's heart because excessive laughter is basically to be insulated from the proper objectives of our existence in this life, to be insulated also from all human suffering around you, to be insulated from, you know, the mission that you are about. Excessive laughter means someone that is drunk. That person that is drunk is not necessarily drunk because he consumed intoxicants, but he is drunk by this dunya. The consumption of the dunya itself caused him to be drunk. So excessive laughter causes death to the heart. You see, there is no way that the Prophet ﷺ had excessive laughter. There is one verse in the Quran that would make this impossible for the Prophet ﷺ or any righteous individual. It's a verse in Surah Al-Mu'minun. If you repeat this verse and really contemplate it, you will not find room for excessive laughter. It is أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ Do you think that we've created you in vain and that you shall not return back to us? So if you, one who thinks that he is being watched, one who thinks that his life is a trial, one who thinks or believes that he's going back to Allah or return to Allah, will not be capable of this excessive laughter. Will not be able to produce it. It will be impossible for him, even if he tried, to have this drunken, excessive laughter. So some people say that laughing is therapeutic, and they actually have laughing parties, or laughing therapy. So they sit down in a place and then the one person starts to laugh and the rest of the sort of try to emulate that person and so on and so forth. Does it work? Yes, it does. But the idea here is the benefit-harm balance, the benefit-harm balance is never decided by looking at something from one angle. Then you have to have encompassing assessment. Now, does drinking wine work? Allah said it does. قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ عَلَى النَّاسِ Say, in them there is a great evil and there are benefits for the people. So it works. In some way, it works from one angle or from some angles, from some, perspectives. It does work. You know, a little, what do they say? A little, what? Takes the grief away or something? So the idea is it works, but is the benefit-harm ratio in favor of the benefit or in favor of the harm? You know, why does it work? Excessive laughter. Why does it work? Because it is basically another form of getting yourself drunk. Another form of derooting yourself from the reality to live in a fictitious life, in a bubble, which will work, but does it work permanently? No. Works temporarily. And those temporary fixes, what they are, is like scratching for someone who has scabies. When you have scabies and you scratch, what happens? You feel good. Just for a few seconds. And then you itch again. And then you have to scratch more. That is the parable. So, it is not only the laughter or laughing therapy. It is all kinds of such therapy. Any intense activity, coupled with one's expectation of joy or happiness or cure or this or that, may work. And in fact, electrical therapy was for a very long time a mainstay in psychiatry. You know, it is basically electrical therapy is used for torture, but it is also used in psychiatry. Do you know those bizarre parties that people have back in our homes? Okay, you know, the czar party is, huh? There's got to be a name for this. No, it's not only needs. It's all over the place. Not only needs. Huh? Oh, no, it's not. In fact, the swirling dervishes, that is a form of czar party. You know the swirling dervish? Okay, that's a form of czar party. So, anyway, it is when you engage in intense activity. In fact, some Muslim psychiatrists, they advise that instead of the electrical therapy, the czar party. And those are well-known, famous psychiatrists. They're not like anyone. Because it is basically intense activity that will remove you from the reality, that will result in some degree of dissociation between the soul and the body. So the soul is kept down, imprisoned by the body, and any form of slight detachment between the soul and the body will result in improving the characteristics or the qualities of the soul or the conditions of the soul. But these fixes are temporary fixes. The only way to true rise of the soul, where it transcends the body and above the body and truly connects with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is through more recognition, more worship, more righteousness, that will result in this soul being pulled towards the origin, towards the source of wholeness, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and holiness. But anyway, so laughter is dispraised when it is excessive, and it is not the right form of therapy. It is praiseworthy when it is moderate and it is warranted. The smile should always accompany us, because that used to be the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And certainly the excessive laughter is an indication of one's heedlessness, and that is something we should totally avoid. Yeah, the Prophet did not also, you know, he sort of, when, like Zayd ibn Thabit, he said that when the Prophet ﷺ sat with us, he used to act like us and talk like us and exchange, you know, thoughts and words with us, like one of us, like one of us. And Jabir ibn Samura says, as reported by Muslim, that كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يغادر مصلاه الذي يصلي فيه صلاة الصبح حتى تطلع الشمس فإذا طلعت الشمس قام وكانوا يتحدثون فيأخذون في أمر الجاهلية فيضحكون ويتبسم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to not leave the place of his prayer that he used to pray صبح at until the sunrise. And then when the sun rises, he used to stand up and leave. And they, meaning the Sahaba, رضوان الله عليهم, they used to talk, and then they would engage in a talk about the times of Jahiliyyah before Islam, and they would laugh and the Prophet would smile. So he did not sort of force a gloomy environment on the Sahaba radhiyallahu alayhim, or like he allowed them to be happy, he allowed them to rejoice, and then he would also respect the mood of the group. So if the group is in a certain mood, he would not attempt to force a different mood on the group. So he would sit, but using dhikr, you know, he sat down until the rise of the sun, because that's the time of Adhkar al-Sabah, and he was in dhikr. But they would talk around him, and he would hear them, and he would reciprocate the mood, so that he's not forcing a different mood on the group, and he is not also detached from the group itself. And finally, laughter should be warranted. You know, if the Prophet ﷺ laughed, it was certainly warranted for him to laugh. One of the poets said, ضحكت لك الأيام يا عالم الهدى واستبشرت بقدومك الأعوام وتوقف التاريخ عندك مذعنا تملي عليه وأصحابك الأقدام اضحك لأنك جئت بشرى للورى في راحتيك السلم والإسلام. So once again, ضحكت لك الأيام يا عالم ضحكت لك الأيام يا عالم الهدى, the days laughed for you, O beacon of guidance, واستبشرت بقدومك الأعوام, and the years rejoiced with optimism upon your coming. وتوقف التاريخ عندك مذعنا, and history paused before you in submission, تملي عليه, while you dictate to it, dictate to history, تملي عليه وأصحابك وأصحابك الأقلام, while you dictate to it, and the pens were none but your companions. The pens with which you write, rewrite history were none but your companions. اضحك لأنك جئت بشرى اضحك لأنك جئت بشرى للورى. Laugh because you came as a glad tidings. Laugh because you came to bring happiness. You came to bring joy. You're entitled. Laugh because you came as a God fighting for the universe. في راحتيك السلم والإسلام, with peace and safety and Islam in the palms of your hands. So that was our talk about the laughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and inshallah next time we'll talk about his bravery.